Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. That man down there is in the know, JR. We need to switch this up tonight a little bit. I'm feeling like we're always in the same exact spots, and I want to change things up a little bit here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that tonight. We're gonna make JR up there in the top left hand corner.
Oh my.
Yeah, I'm going to bring me down to the bottom.
Spot.
Oh, is that what this is?
I feel like it. I mean,
hey, yeah. Look there. Look at that.
Yeah, this feels like I'm in charge now.
Ooh.
I don't want to be in charge.
I might have to change it back.
Good evening. Don't put me in charge.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the OHIO podcast. We're glad to have you in tonight. This is going to be a fun and entertaining evening of round table discussion. Like I said, I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man up there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. That man up there is in the know, JR, and you are you. And we're thankful to have each and every single one of you with us tonight. If you haven't already, please hit that like button. We surely do appreciate that. And if you're not subscribed already, what are you doing? Hit that subscription. Guys, we hit 1,400 subscribers this week. Not too shabby.
It's a good start.
Yeah, not too shabby. Also, if you haven't already, go check us out on all of our social media sites as Chris gets them lungs filled up there. We're over at Twitter at the OHIO Pod, at the Ohio Pod. Over at Facebook at the Ohio Podcast, you can catch us there. Of course, you can email us at the OHIO Podcast at gmail.com. And you can go check us out on our website, the Ohio Podcast. .com. Go check us out, theohiopodcast.com. Read a lot of great articles. Just wrote an article today about our tennis team who's going to the NCAA championships in Stillwater, Oklahoma. They have won multiple NCAA championships in indoor tennis. They have not won an outdoor tennis NCAA championship, but they've been close, and they have quite the team. They're ranked number one. They're the number one seed, and they are going to take on Columbia this Thursday in what is basically the Grade 8. So if they win that, they'll go on to the Final Four and have their opportunity to win themselves a national championship. So we'd like to wish them good luck.
Do we know what Blue Blood tennis programs are out there? Like, is Columbia just like a secret Blue Blood?
I have no idea. I want to say it's probably like the East Coast, like rich schools.
Feels like it's kind of that wealthy sport. So your Ivy League schools probably are kind of towards the top in that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to pull up the article real fast because it's got a tweet for the eight schools who are in it. So let me go check that out real fast. But I do agree with you that it does feel like that should be like an Ivy League like thing, kind of similar to like lacrosse, East Coast, Northeast type.
That's what I was thinking was like lacrosse.
Let's see here. So here are the schools. You ready? We've got Ohio State, Columbia, Kentucky, TCU. I knew TCU was good. Virginia, Wake Forest, Tennessee. So your Freudian slip was correct. And Texas. No, Columbia is the only Ivy League school there.
Texas just seems like they would.
They have all that oil money down there. They have plenty of time for tennis.
Well, they have so many athletes. It's like, well, I played football in high school, so I guess I'll go try tennis now. I don't know.
Well, that, and, you know, I mean, it's always nice down there for the most part, so I'm thinking outdoor tennis is probably something that can be played most of the year round down there.
Yeah. Guys, I haven't seen any comments yet. I'm wondering if our
comments. I checked on YouTube and it says we have 6 listeners on YouTube, but no comments there. So.
Okay. I was just double checking. Usually on comments, they're flying in already, so I was just curious what was going
on.
They're
all busy tonight, Eric. Maybe they were so busy.
It is Mother's Day.
We have to tune in for Mother's Day. I'm having dinner. I'll put my AirPods in. She'll never notice. And I'll listen to the sweet voices of Eric Boggs and Chris Wiles.
You know that two of the people who are watching are probably our moms.
Oh, my mom doesn't watch.
No?
No.
My mom does.
Yeah. Well, shout out to your mom, Eric, because she's going to be receiving a couple of those great OHIO podcast tumblers here. There you go. She's got two more of those coming tomorrow.
So I visited my mom yesterday, and she was like, show me how to buy these off your website. And I was like, okay. So I did, and I thought it was a great test because I hadn't bought anything off the website either. So it was a good thing to see. But she bought them as graduation gifts.
Nice.
Oh. That's thinking with the old noggin right there. That's a good graduation
smart mom.
Gift. Yeah.
That graduation gift and promoting the son at the same time. Gotta
she
love it.
Birthed a smart child. I'll say so myself. Yes. So, all right, here they come. Jeremiah Yoder, OHIO. Let's go, Buckeyes. Good to have you tonight. Our buddy Larry Daniels from Central Florida. Greetings. Larry, we actually got some good weather today. That's why I'm wearing my Billy Bob hat.
Oh, it's gorgeous out there.
I did some outdoor work today. Enjoyed the backyard and sunshine. And whenever that happens, I just feel like I should put on my Billy Bob hat and act like I'm going to go to some tiki bar somewhere. Sarah's in the house, my wife. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife. Good to see her checking out. I think she's actually out on the back porch watching us. So
wow.
Awesome. All right, so here we go. We've got some interesting conversations tonight, and I'm sure as the scoopers will start sliding in here in a little bit.
Just in time to beat me up.
you're gonna take it on the chin tonight, buddy.
Yeah, it's not my fault, but we'll get back to that later.
you're gonna take it on the chin tonight, just so you know. All right, so I'm gonna share a picture with you guys first here. So as most of you know, and I didn't share this already, but we are the official podcast of the College Huddle. Go over to collegehuddle.com. 73 podcasts. We're the official Ohio State podcast of the College Huddle. This picture over here is of Skeeter. We talked about him last Sunday night here on the pod. Skeeter is the host of the Woods Water Mizzou podcast, the Missouri podcast on the College Huddle. He had a terrible accident, I believe at work, where he lost 3 toes and part of his foot. And standing beside him, that is the host of our Hogs on the Hill podcast, Arkansas, who drove all the way to the hospital to see Skeeter and to make sure he was doing all good. That is what the college huddle
That's awesome.
Is all about right there.
Yeah.
That's cool. I wanted to share that. Tip the hat to Caleb over there at the Hogs on the Hill podcast. Wonderful job looking out for our man Skeeter there and taking the time to go say hi to him. That's why I love being a part of this. We call it a community. A lot of people say you're a network. We're not. We're a community. I really stand by that, that this is a community of people who care for one another. And so absolutely love that. All right, guys. So this week, 247 Sports released something that I always look forward to, and I'm glad they spend the time doing it so I don't have to go through all 300 and some odd picks to find out where every single one of these guys who were chosen in the NFL draft played their high school ball at, what state. Because what I think is the barometer to test how good high school football is in your state is how many of those kids eventually get drafted into the NFL. There's not a better grading scale, if you will, to determine the health of a state's high school football than to see the numbers in the NFL draft. Do you agree or disagree with that, JR?
I would agree. I think that some states benefit a little bit more from people around them coming into them. You know, Texas and Florida come to mind as states that, you know, can sometimes get other students to come, maybe their middle school year or their freshman year after high school, and say, I have a future, and they go to a prestigious school. Thinking of programs like IMG that, you know, they heavily recruit their guys to come in there. So I do think it's a bit skewed in that way. So that is a portion there. But overall, I mean, we're not going to find a perfect system, and this is definitely one that I use as well to try to figure out talent in the state.
Chris, you got any thoughts on that?
I agree. I think it's a great way to evaluate how much talent you have in the state. I mean, you know, a lot of times I think people talk about the star ratings of the guys as they enter college, but I think that's a skewed system. I really do. I think that this is a much better way to determine just how great school is, or high school football is in the state.
So, Sean Schrock, what's up, guys? Great video today, Eric. Thank God someone stood up for the kid. You're a great man. Thank you, Sean. So he's talking about a video I just posted that if you haven't watched it yet about Baby Gronk is what they call him. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched that video, go and watch that. He's not a high schooler like we're talking about here. He was a fifth grader. So and
elementary schooler.
Yeah, fifth grader. Yeah. And here they come. So we're glad to have all of the scoopers flying into the house tonight, man. This is awesome.
I'm dead.
Here they come. Good to have each and every single one of you, man. Oh my gosh, yeah, this is this is another good one, JR. Look at this one. Bobby McCormick brings it up. What about Chris Henry, who will now be classified as California? I think that affects the state's grading. Absolutely.
Sure it does.
Yeah. The corner that went down to Texas from Ohio, Dorian Brew, I think. Mm-hmm. He's another one that will eventually be an NFL player.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, Ohio 775. Can you guys start over? Well, Devin,
we just got started, Devin.
We really haven't said about anything. So we're just going to dive right into this. So here we go. So this is the graphic that 247 Sports released. I was going to break this down by state and go individually for the state, but I'm not going to do that tonight because Chris is going to dominate this show with a top 10 that is sure to get the chat going, as we would say.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault. But that being said, let's break this down by state a little bit, okay? Number one, and this is just, I mean, it goes without saying, they're either one or two or three every single year, but it's Florida, right? And 30 guys from high school were drafted, and not from high school, but who played their ball in high school, eventually were drafted in this past year's 2024 NFL draft, 30 guys. Now, what I'm about to say is going to be controversial, and I'm okay with that. And if you're a Florida fan or someone from Florida sees this and wants to disagree with me on this, I'm open to having a civil conversation on it. But I believe 30 is too low for your state, given the advantages that you have. Do you agree or disagree?
I mean, what have they done in the past? I'm forgetting off the top of my head what they've done. I've been impressed by a number of states in the Midwest. Ohio obviously leads them with 10, but I mean, we're looking at states like New York with 5, New Jersey. Guys, New Jersey is becoming quite the area. I had a Rutgers guy I was talking about or I was talking with the other day, and there's a reason why Ohio State is really trying to solidify New Jersey as a pipeline state for them. Now, the problem is that they do not always get the best offensive and defensive line talent out of there. That's actually been one of the issues that Rutgers has had in the past, but you've seen Rutgers this year, and I know this isn't a Big Ten show, but I'm just saying for recruiting purposes, you've seen Rutgers improve their skill positions a little bit more, and that's certainly helped them in those areas. But in addition to that, Indiana is getting much more players. Illinois getting much more players up there. And I think it really comes down to the fact that a lot of these Midwest states are allowing for Ohio to be – or not Ohio, for football to be played year-round. You see a lot of the 7-on-7 stuff happening in Ohio right now, and you're seeing other states also put more of an emphasis on this because – let's face it, at the end of the day, these southern states can play football all year round. I mean, the weather is always there. If anything, it's just too hot sometimes. But these states, Illinois, Indiana, they're allowing, even when it's a little bit colder and even when maybe it's not the best weather, they're allowing their guys to get out there and continue to practice their craft. And you can tell it's really improving here. So I'm fine with Florida being lower if it means that the Midwest is getting more talent out there for the NFL draft.
Florida's had the 7-on-7 for quite a while, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a huge advantage, obviously.
Texas and California hold a lot of 7-on-7 tournaments, which makes a big deal.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You have 4 Power 4 schools in the state of Florida. Florida, yes. FSU, Miami, UCF. A lot of people forget that UCF is now a Power 4. And if you talk to our guys over at the College Huddle who run the UCF, they will not let you forget that they feel they run the state. So, which I love, but Florida having 30, I think is interesting. It's kind of, to me, there's a debate there that's too low. Looking at the next one, I think it's Texas, right? Was 2?
Yeah.
Texas with 24. That makes sense to me. Georgia with 23 at 3rd. We all know that Georgia is an up-and-coming state. Does it surprise you that they only had 1 less than the big bad Texas where everybody knows high school football is king?
That's actually what I was going to say, is that I thought Texas was too low. Yeah. You look at how big that state is, how big high school football is in that state. Heck, guys, we have stadiums in Texas that are larger than Power 4, Power 2 stadiums in college football. I mean, Texas, that's slacking to me. 30 in Florida, sure, we can talk about how that's slacking a little bit. 24 in Texas, that's not enough.
So we have – I got to ask this guy a question. Ryan Day's beard is in the house. This comes from Purdue. Now, I know the answer to this, but this question is from Dylan from Purdue. He wants to know – Ryan Day's beard, do you have a little Just for Men in that thing, or is that all natural? That jet black, beautiful mane of yours that's on your face. I got to ask that question.
I feel very uncomfortable with that question you just asked, Eric. It's a little creepy, dude. Little creepy. Yeah.
All right. Now, where I'm totally going to bag on a state is California, man.
Yeah.
18? Dude. I thought California was supposed to be like the big 3. They're not. Do you guys agree with me that California is just like, I mean, come on. This is year number what? 3 at UC with Lincoln?
Yes.
Okay. Where's this going? Like, I thought California was supposed to be just this amazing place. Oregon obviously stealing recruits from there. You know? Is JR frozen by chance?
Either that or he's just really happy.
He thinks JR's frozen. He saw that question from Ryan Day's beard. It just shocked him. He's frozen. 18 for California, way too low.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's, first of all, you've got a tremendously populous state. How that's even possible, I don't even know. You've got traditional high school powerhouses out there. You know, I don't get how that's such a low number.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. New Jersey with 11. That was one of the things that JR was talking about before he got frozen there.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big time for New Jersey. I think when Shiano sees that, he's got to feel good about what he's doing over at Rutgers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I'm not. And like JR was saying, I'm not surprised. I'd love to see him get, if they ever get offensive line talent homegrown out of that state, oh my goodness, Eric. They're going to be a juggernaut.
I think so.
Because Shiano's got them headed in the right direction. Like JR was saying, they've got some quality skill position guys, some quality defensive guys. If they ever get the guys coming in, the big uglies here on the line, they're going to be a scary team to contend with.
Completely. Ohio's next. I want to, Chris, I want to say that this is probably acceptable, but is it?
It's a little disappointing to me.
I mean, we're sixth.
Yeah.
We're tied with North Carolina and Alabama at 10. So, you know.
But you look at the schools we've got in this state, Eric. I mean, really, I just feel like we should be doing more. I really do. You know, I think that as the 7-on-7 takes off that is now permitted in Ohio, I think more guys are going to hone their talents. And obviously, I think we'll see that number increase somewhat. But I just feel there's too much talent in the state of Ohio for this number to be that low. I feel like we should be over top of, you know, states like New Jersey and Maryland. You know,
Maryland comes
in with 10 as well. So
yeah, Tyler's pointed out that Louisiana was at 11 with New Jersey. Thank you for yes. pointing that out. But, you know, I would say, you know, given some of the weather disadvantages that Ohio yes. has, I see, this is where I'm coming in, Donald. I agree. I feel like Ohio might be a little bit too low there. I mean, Ohio at times, JR, I know you know you've looked at these numbers too in the past. At times, Ohio's been as high as like fourth on this list.
I don't know if I ever saw fourth, but at least fifth I saw one year, sixth a couple times. But yeah, no, there is definitely stuff happening with Ohio having some talent taken out of there and going to different places, like we mentioned, Chris Henry, Dorian Brew, guys like that. That is making a difference here. So I do think that Ohio, like we've talked about, well, I don't know if we've talked about it, but I've heard other people talk about it a lot, the 7-on-7 stuff happening. Trey McNutt, I really, really think that Trey McNutt, what he did and with the 7-on-7 and the stand he was willing to take by himself too. This was not somebody that had a group of guys that went with him. He put his high school football career at risk for younger players in the state of Ohio. Normally I'm somebody that says stay within the rules and try to change things, but I mean, I can't argue with what Trey McNutt did here. He's really changed a whole lot of things for the entire state and athletes coming up that now they're going to be able to do 7-on-7 and really take the OHSAA and say, guys, stop being stupid. Let's let the kids play the sports they want to play. Let's stop being a a dictatorship here and tell everybody what they have to do. Let the kids play what they want to play. Sorry if tennis suffers, but at the end of the day, if a kid's going to be a five-star wide receiver, make him a five-star wide receiver. Let him play.
Go ahead, Eric.
Bobby Carpenter has done a lot to fight the OHSAA. And he has a very good platform in which to do it from on 97.1 The Fan. And so I'd like to give Bobby some kudos for that. But, yes, go ahead, Chris.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you look to – this is based on how many guys went in this year's draft.
Sure.
So let's just say that some of these guys who didn't come back, a Jack Sawyer, a Ty Hamilton, all of a sudden you're at 12. You know, those are two guys from Pickerington right there who would have changed the outlook of that. So I think some of these guys coming back this year definitely affected that number a little bit as well.
What I didn't have time to look up on this list is how many of those 10 from Ohio actually played at that school up north.
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, guys from Ohio that were drafted.
Well, they had 71 seniors or something like that this year, so, you know.
Yeah.
I just looked up the number of Ohio players drafted the past 10 years. I don't think this includes this draft. Let me check and make sure. April 22nd, 2024. So, no, it did. Or was that before or after the draft?
I think draft was 25th.
Okay, so this is before, so the last 11 years, you would have had 119 players drafted, including this draft, the past 11 years, 119 players drafted from the state of Ohio. This is just a little bit below that average. I think that average would be just a little bit below 11. So at the end of the day, I agree it does seem low, but maybe Ohio has just fluctuated from year to year. They generally average 10 or 11.
So if you follow Ohio high school sports, specifically football, you know that Ohio's always rivaled Pennsylvania. The Ohio-Pennsylvania All-Star Game used to be an absolute monster mm-hmm. thing. Woody Hayes and Joe Paterno had some epic recruiting battles between the two of them on the border there in eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, Erie, PA, over there in Ashtabula County, up in Cleveland, over all the way over into Youngstown mm-hmm. area. These are battleground areas where Woody and Joe Paul went at it. And the Ohio-Pennsylvania All-Star Game used to be an absolute monster event. To see Pennsylvania fall off the map like it has in Ohio high school or in a high school football is incredible to see, especially when you not only have, like I said, Erie and Pittsburgh, but you have the East Coast in Philadelphia,
yeah.
Which, as we know, is where Marvin Harrison Jr. played his high school ball with McCord. And so there's some really good high school football there. That, to me, is incredibly interesting. But then as I've been doing some of these border wars research, which if you aren't familiar with what we do in the off season, one of the things we do here at the OHO podcast is we dive deep into high school recruiting with our bordered states. So the state up north, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, we'll dive into it with them. West Virginia, not really someone we ever really talk a whole lot about with recruiting. But it's incredibly interesting to me to see how California's fallen off the map. Now, how things have changed a little bit is ever since Urban has come on board, recruiting for Ohio State has gone from an emphasis of regionally to let's go national with our recruiting. The brand of Ohio State has never been stronger than it is today. Recruiting has never been better as far as just the overall talent that's being brought into this program than it is today. Even after Urban retired, I thought for sure we might take a small step back. We have not. Ryan Day continues to kill it on the recruiting trail with people like Walton helping him out on the defensive side. And, of course, Brian Hartline at wide receiver, who is just absolutely killing it. So you take all of that into account, and then you look at these numbers, and some of it can be affected by what I just said. Because if you stop and you think about it, Ohio State still is a great developer of talent. And when you're developing talent from high schools now, from all across the country, and not as many kids from the state of Ohio, that's going to affect these numbers. Am I right or wrong, JR?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, and let's also not forget that the, like you said, under Urban, it got, you know, it definitely wasn't what it was under Tressel, but under Ryan Day, it's become even less so. Ryan Day has gone outside of the state of Ohio even more than other people have in his tenure. So, I mean, we can do a debate and a war about that if we want. I say get the best players you possibly can and then supplement with guys from Ohio. Like, I mean, this is going really, really deep into recruiting stuff, so I don't know if we want to get this far. But, you know, I love the hire of Carlos Laughlin, but he's kind of going out to Virginia looking at some three-star running backs out there. And I'm like, dude, we got three-star running backs in Ohio you could go be looking at right now. So, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, Ohio State shouldn't be outside of the state of Ohio. I think you do that for the best of your best guys. But for culture, I think you got to stay in Ohio and really look at some of these lower-level guys to supplement in some of your ways. You know, Justin Fry's been going out and getting three stars from Ohio and saying, these are my guys. I'd love for some of the better recruiters like a Brian Hartline to at least get one wide receiver from Ohio, Tim Walton to get one cornerback, one, you know, Matt Guerrier, get one safety from Ohio that maybe is a little bit more underrated that you see some potential with. And if he transfers, he transfers. It is what it is, but give him a shot.
Chris, any thoughts?
No, I agree. You know, I am somebody who does like to see more kids from Ohio, especially guys along that line, because I feel like, you know, I feel like it's great to get those fast skill position guys from out of state. I think that's great. If we're competing on the national level, we have to have that speed. But man, on that line, they just don't have, it seems like we don't have the toughness that we used to. And I think a lot of that comes from not getting the kids from Ohio, that toughness, that physicality, that just that mental, you know, mental nastiness that I think we lose not having those Ohio kids all up on that line.
Definitely something that needs to be explored and talked about a little bit more. And we will do that. Make sure you check out those Border War episodes. They're going to be coming in your way right here on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, ring the bell, get notified so you'll never miss one of those when they do drop. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Chris is just going to piss all of you off, so hang tight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. All right, Chris, so you put another list together for us.
I want to blame you for this, Eric, because I was.
Why is this my fault?
I was inspired by you to take the passion out of it. Buddy. So I came up with something that I just typed the numbers in the computer and let the averages come land where they may.
I have you know, I did not make your algorithm for you. So
you did not.
Explain to everybody what you're doing and okay. how you did it before we jump into this, because
I'm going to be crucified. Yes, I understand this.
Yes, you are.
And understand me. Understand, if this was me, this is not the list I would have chosen. Well, maybe until we get to the top three, it would have been the list I chose. But those top three,
not in that order.
I don't think the computer necessarily did me any favors. No. However, so just a real quick rundown. Of course, obviously, Ohio State has had 25 coaches in their illustrious history, if you count Luke Fickell's interim term as head coach.
I do.
I do as well. So during that 25 years, what I did was I went out and I took into account wins, total losses, total overall winning percentage. I also applied this to the conference and to that team up north, their performance against that team up north, all three of those categories. There were also additional categories for bowl wins and losses, categories for conference championships, national championships, of course, and bonus points given for Heisman Trophy winners. So in each of these categories, everybody was ranked, with the exception of the bonus categories, everybody was ranked 1 through 25, or 25, yeah. 1 through 25, 25 being the best. So I'm just going to do a quick rundown. We're only going to dive into the top five, because that's where everybody's going to
come. I actually have all 10, brother.
Do you have all 10?
I have all 10 if you want them.
If you got all 10, let's go ahead and run all 10.
All right.
So let's start off at number 10, and a lot of people may think this guy belongs a little bit higher because he does have a national championship, but that is one, Paul Brown. Paul Brown, of course, coached the first title in 1942. He had a .685 overall winning percentage. Won 1-1 versus that team up north. Huge role in football in Ohio, but as far as his Ohio State tenure, we've got him in at number 10. I don't think there's a whole lot of people who's going to disagree a lot with that.
I do.
Okay, well, they're wrong.
You're already making people mad, Chris.
Yes. That's okay.
Wait a second. The dude literally is why the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals exist.
What does that have to do with Ohio State football?
Everything! Has everything to do with Ohio State football, because without Ohio State football, you would have neither one of those. Then,
okay, but what does the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals have to do with his performance at Ohio State?
Nothing.
Exactly. Move on. But,
no, wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. And go then ahead. Number two, this is true. This is a quote from him.
Okay.
Because of World War
Two.
Which he had to leave, right, and be a part of that.
He didn't have to leave. He chose to go to the Armed Forces and go up and coach the team at the Armed Forces Center.
He is quoted as saying that the greatest job he ever had was Ohio State. Okay. There is a world that exists where Woody Hayes never happens because Paul Brown wins about 15 national championships at Ohio State.
But did he?
No, he didn't. But you have to respect the fact that he was the first one, too.
I do respect that, Eric. I completely respect that.
You lose complete respect of them when you look at number 9 coming up. That's all I'm saying.
That's not my fault. That's the computers. I don't even know if I would have had this guy in the top 10.
Humbus hero, you're preaching my language.
All right, so number 9.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, number 9 is John Cooper. So, you know, obviously Coop's tenure in Columbus is going to be best known for mediocrity and disappointment. 2-10-1, obviously, versus that team up north. An abysmal 3-8 bowl record. You know, he was set a 7-15 winning percentage overall. Not bad. But he dipped to under 700 when you got inside the conference. Not good.
So honestly, how is he ahead of Brown then?
I will tell you, you know, a lot of these guys got either hurt or helped in the longevity scores, in the fact that they may have more wins, because we did overall wins. Some people, and we're going to discuss this later when people get ready to crucify me, some people got hurt by their longevity in the overall losses. So that is how Cooper got in there. All right. I mean, you look at he coached the second most games in Ohio State history.
So before you go any further, Chris, and there you are, you're getting roasted in the chat. Tyler has
I'm okay with that. I mean, this was the computer. It was the algorithm.
Tyler, feel free to ask your question.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, so if you guys have a question for Chris on any of this, feel free. I know what you're saying is the algorithm takes all the emotion out of it, which is gives you some surprising answers depending on how you set your algorithm up. I get it. I understand it. Same thing happened for me a couple weeks ago with the wide receivers. All right. So,
okay.
This is you got to have to educate me here on this one. Go for it.
Okay, we got Howard Jones coming in next. Now, Howard Jones is going to be one of those guys who benefited somewhat from the short tenure. He only had 1 year as head coach, and that was way back in 1910. He went 6-1-3 overall. And, you know, his biggest win wasn't even a win, Eric. That's the thing that kills me. His biggest win was a 3-3 draw over that team up north, which raised Ohio State's record at that time to an illustrious 0-10-2 versus Michigan. So his best win wasn't even a true win. It was a tie. But he did have a 750 winning percentage, and that is eighth among all Ohio State football coaches. So his effectiveness in his short time there, I think, is what helped him. So let's go ahead and move to number seven.
All right.
Seven is Francis Schmidt. So Schmidt had four seasons as head coach of the Buckeyes between 34 and 40. He had an overall winning percentage of 705, a 763 against the conference. So really solid there. Had a winning record versus that team up north. And then his best victory, of course, included a 34-0 shellacking of that team up north, which was, to that day, the biggest victory Ohio State had ever had over their arch rival. He also additionally added two conference championships over his seven-year tenure. So that's got him slid in at number seven. So I think that's solid.
Yeah, Tyler's question for you, Chris. If all of this was under the current format of the playoffs, would that change this list any? Meaning how much of that could change?
So much could change by air, because if you look at a lot of these guys, you know, you talk about a Francis Schmidt, you talk about a Paul Brown, you talk about a Howard Jones, and another guy we're going to talk about a little bit further up on the list in Carol Widows. These are guys who played under a system where we didn't have bowl games at the time, Eric. You took your end of your year, and then the AP basically voted on who was the national champion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of this would have changed, I think, had we had games for some of these guys. Some of these guys at the bottom may be higher. You know, if you look at Carol Widows in 1944, if he gets a chance to play Army and Army beats them, maybe this is a guy who's higher on the list. Or he beats Army, rather. Yeah, he's maybe, you know, higher up on the list. Yeah, Schmidt's also the reason for the gold pants. Nice add-in there, Sean. So, yeah, I think that if you look at the eras, obviously, there are things that got tweaked or that would be tweaked. The eras, obviously, I think, hurt some of these coaches, but also helped some as well on the list.
Dare Dylan. I look like Schmidt on a Saturday around 1. All right.
Can you draw a little fuzzy beard on him there, and then he can just look like Dylan?
There you go.
All right. So that's Schmidt. Now we start getting into some, I think, muddied waters a little bit. Because I think, as you'll see on the list, I think 4, 5, and 6, you can see some play in those. 1, 2, and 1. I'm not going to get in there yet because when we get to 1, you'll realize just how wrong it is. Okay, so number 6, Earl Bruce. You know, most of us remember starting to watch football under Earl Bruce. And he had a pretty solid career, 81, 26, and 1 at Ohio State. Respectable 770 winning percentage. He was 5-4 versus Michigan. He had 4 conference championships, 8 bowl games consecutively. You know, he had 2 appearances in the Rose Bowl. And you know what? People thought enough of this man to let him be one of the 2 coaches to dot the I, Eric.
I was there that day.
Yeah. I mean, Earl Bruce, I loved Earl Bruce as a coach. I think there's some argument that he should be a little higher on the list. But at the same time, you know, the guys, as we move forward, have some pretty impressive numbers of their own. So let's go to number 5 here, Eric. And that's the beard, Ryan Day. You know, he's only been around for, 6 seasons now. So, I mean, he's got a lot of time left, provided he beats that team up north this year. But in Ryan Day's time, 56-8, a winning percentage of .875. That's top 3 all time in Ohio State history. If you look, he has been very successful with the exception of big games. I think that's what's hurt him. The games against that team up north, his 2-5 record versus top 5 teams. These are things that kept Ryan Day from being higher on this list. That and the lack of a national championship. He does have 2 conference championships, but he does not have a national title in that time. Great recruiter. I think he's a great offensive mind. But you've got to change around those top 5, that record against the top 5 and that record against that team up north if you want to climb this list. I think it's that simple.
Chris, if, and I say if because I'm trying to be cordial here, but because we all know it's going to happen, but if information comes out saying that, you know, that team up north was just cheating to the nth degree, largest, you know, one of the biggest scandals of cheating we've ever seen in college football, and they just get slammed with every penalty, every punishment, all the stuff in the book. You know, I've been on record here saying that I've been told, and I think that's going to happen. I've not swayed from that. If that comes out, say
he does move up. Yes,
I was gonna say, because at the end of the day, like, I'm no Ryan Day apologist, but I just think we have to be real in looking at this and say, like,
no, Michigan, I mean, legitimately,
cheated.
Yeah.
Michigan cheated. And as much as, like, the Joel Klatt of the world who just want to voice their Fox Sports, ideas out there that, oh, Michigan's cheating didn't really do anything. Anybody who knows anything about football would tell you that if the offense knows what the defense is running,
yes,
then you can exploit that if you have players who can listen to commands.
I don't disagree with that, JR. And if you look, not only myself, but, I mean, in the algorithm itself, if you take away those 3 losses that Day has, he's got enough points to jump at least one of the guys on the list. Maybe. Well, I'm not going to say 2.
If you take away the 3 losses or
if
you
take away
the 3 wins.
Well, you're not going to give him 3 wins. It's that simple.
Right. They're not going to get those wins.
They're not going to get those wins.
No,
but if they have
to
vacate
those.
If he won those games, all of a sudden, I think he's competing for a top 3. Wow. Maybe, or at least top 4. But you know.
Yeah. All right, before you go any further, Chris, there's some questions in the chat. If you would explain the algorithm again and how you came up with the list.
So what I did, I took categories, and there's several categories, beginning with games coached, the number of games coached, the number of total wins, number of total losses, number of or winning percentage, overall winning percentage. I then applied that to the conference with total conference wins, total conference losses, and total conference winning percentage. And then win total wins versus that team up north, total losses versus that team up north, and total winning percentage versus that team up north. So Ryan Day really, for instance, got slammed in two categories there because he's got a poor winning percentage and poor total losses versus that team up north, which is why I'm saying if we take those away, that completely changes, you know, his point stature. Additionally, we took conference championships into account. We took in national championships into account. And everybody in those categories was ranked. And I'm sorry, we took total bowl wins, total bowl losses into account. And then we ranked everybody 1 through 25 on those. I'm sorry, 25 being the best, 1 being the worst.
Okay.
Then anybody who coached a Heisman Trophy winner got an extra point for each Heisman Trophy winner they coached. So that is just how that broke down. We plugged all the numbers in. We got a total number of points for each coach. And that is how the rankings came out.
It's about to get very...
No, we got one more before people start truly hating me.
No, it. I think it gets interesting now. I'll just be honest.
So yeah, and this is what I said. 4, 5, and 6 have an argument for reorganization. They really sure do. All three of these guys. Number 4, we've got Carol Widows. So for those of you who don't know who Carol Widows is, he was the top guy at Ohio State for 2 years in 44 and 45. This is the guy who stepped in when Paul Brown went to go coach up at the military institute up there. So, 2 seasons, he went 16-2. He went 9-0 in 44. Had, of course, Ohio State's first Heisman Trophy winner in Les Horvath. Finished 2nd in the country to only Army that year. And he won the Coach of the Year award in 1944 as well. He has an 889 overall winning percentage, which is 2nd all-time among Ohio State coaches. And he was the he was 1-1 versus that team up north. So, numbers-wise, he favored a lot from percentages. Winning percentage in the conference, winning percentage overall, winning percentage in the game or the
but how many games did he coach?
He coached 18 games and went 16-2.
So how can you look at winning percentage when you've only coached 18 games?
Again, Eric,
and give him the top score from that. Like there should be like a level of games coached that you have to get to.
Well, I did all the coaches though. So I ranked every single coach. I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Like, I think there's ways to tweak and out. There's obviously
you can make numbers say whatever you want them to say. Ultimately,
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, and Tyler wants to ask the question again. He says again, Chris, with the current format of the playoffs, does that move up Day? So, in other words, if Day goes into the playoffs and starts winning a couple games that way,
of course, they'll move him up.
It's gonna automatically do it because well, you're gonna
moved him up because of the national championship appearance. Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
Right. He was already bumped up because of the national championship appearance. But at the same time, he's a little bit hurt by his bowl record.
Yeah.
So I mean that really is one of the things that's hurt Ryan Day, as I said, was the bowl record, the wins. The losses to the top 5 opponents, the poor record against top 5, and specifically the Michigan appearances. Those are things that really held Day back. By all accounts, I really feel like Ryan Day should be number 4 on this list. Don't get me wrong. But for the most part, I'm okay with the guys who are on this list. Thanks, Dylan. On this list up to this point, I don't have a huge argument. Like I said, 4, 5, and 6 could have some argument for realignment. This is where things get ugly, and a lot of people are not going to like me because of what the algorithm
just
is out there.
Buckle up, Chris. Here we go.
Number 3. Go ahead and show it, Eric. Woody Hayes. I don't agree with this. Woody Hayes is my first choice as the guy. He is the icon of Ohio State. Make no mistake about it. But he came in at 195 points on this algorithm, which was less than 2 of the other coaches. You know, he is the standard, make no mistake. 13 conference championships, 5 national titles. 3 times he's coached Heisman Trophy winners. No one has coached more games or won more games for Ohio State than Woody Hayes. At the same time, nobody has lost more games for Ohio State than Woody Hayes.
So that's where he gets hurt with the longevity.
The longevity hurt Woody Hayes in this algorithm. And it's Jeremiah, I agree. He deserves to be number one. He should be number one. I hate this algorithm at this point when it came down to this. But yeah, the longevity hurt him because he had more losses to Michigan, a lower winning percentage versus Michigan, had more losses, which affected his winning percentage long, you know, overall. But anyhow, Woody Hayes came in at number 3. So go ahead and get your pitchforks and torches and head towards my house. That's okay. I'm willing to accept this. It's not my fault. It's the computer, but you know what? I'm the one who started this whole misguided list.
We're just going to the house to burn your computer alive. Not you, just the computer.
I'm fine with that. You know what? I'm willing to sacrifice the computer. It's okay. It belongs to the city schools anyhow.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
They'll just get you a new one, right, Chris?
No. So, number 2. And I honestly don't have a problem with this guy at number 2. I think this is the right spot for this guy. And that's the sweater vest, the Tress, Eric's man crush. You know, I don't think, you know, if Woody Hayes did more for Ohio State than any other coach in history, Tress is definitely number 2. From the day he came out and gave that 310-day speech, this guy was an icon. 9-1 record versus that team up north. He had an 8-10 winning percentage overall. 808 in the conference. You know, a national championship. Several bowl appearances. The guy just was a great coach. And yes, Matt, a Youngstown hero. He wasn't just a Youngstown hero. He was an Ohio hero. That's simple. So I think Tress is good. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I think Tress is in the right spot at number 2. I do think number 1 and number 3 should have been flipped, however.
So I understood talking about like best receivers with no emotion, right? Like I think that was a really, really good thing, and I feel like I know who's coming up next at number 1, and maybe we can talk about this after this, but like, isn't emotion a big thing when it comes into choosing the best coach of all time? Like, I know that we've said we disagree with the computer multiple times.
I'm gonna say this, Eric.
For you guys, like, don't you guys choose your favorite coaches based on emotion more than maybe the analytics of it all?
Now, see, and that's something that I encourage you to read my article that Eric's going to post up on the website for us tomorrow, because there's a line in there that I think really explains this whole thing. There is a fine line, I think, between the greatest coach and the most successful coach. I think there could be a distinction there as far as statistics go. Although you might argue that the number of national titles made Woody Hayes both. But at the same time, it's hard to argue with the success had by one Urban Meyer. So Urban Meyer comes in at number one on the list. And no disrespect to Urban Meyer, but I do feel that this is Woody's spot if it was my personal choice. But statistically, you look at it, the guy had the highest winning percentage, or I'm sorry, the second highest, no, highest overall winning percentage, second highest in the Big Ten. There was a coach that went and coached for one season and had a perfect Big Ten record.
That's not, you can't do that.
Again, I know that's what you're saying, Eric, but statistically, he had the second greatest Big Ten winning percentage. He was completely dominant versus that team up north, going 7-0. I mean, obviously, he was second in the number of wins there to Woody Hayes. First in losses because he didn't. He had three conference championships. He has a national title to his credit and should have had two. Thank you, Gene Smith. It's hard to argue with the success that Urban Meyer had. So I can see statistically why the algorithm put him there. But at the same time, and Matt, you're not wrong. Urban was not exactly the kindest guy in the world. He was not the most personable. He was not the friendliest, and I don't know that he was the most pleasant to be coached by. I'm sure there's a kicker in Carolina who would tell you he was
Jacksonville,
who would tell you he was not exactly the most friendly character.
I don't know that was reported accurately.
But, I would also say this. Nick Saban wasn't the nicest guy in the world either.
No, he wasn't.
Bill Belichick is not the nicest guy in the world. But you know what? Just like Urban, they win. So, the top 10 coaches statistically by this algorithm.
We need to check Chris tomorrow morning, JR, to make sure he's okay tonight.
I already see people asking for his address in the chat.
I saw that. Okay, so obviously I think the algorithm that you created, and here's what's interesting about when you do this, and I highly recommend anybody, it's a lot of work, and which is why I haven't done one since. I could have put
benchmarks in there for certain numbers of games coached, things like that, but I wanted to include all 25 guys.
But if you just go into it and say, here's what I want to look at, here's how I'm going to look at it, you create that algorithm, and then you start plugging the information in, it does give you some surprising results. Yeah. Like, I'm sure when you were done, you were shocked when Woody Hayes came out at third.
Oh, absolutely. I would say that, like I said, I don't think the list was that far off. And I could see the argument that you were trying to make for Paul Brown. I do. But I don't think that the system was that far off, with the exception of, I think, 1 and 3 got flopped. Maybe 4 and 5.
And this brings up a lot of really good conversations. So, like, for instance, eras.
Absolutely played an impact.
You have absolutely played a hand in that. You have coaches who coached an era where the only bowl game was the Rose Bowl. You had one coach that won bowl games yet.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, that really changes the dynamic. I mean, you would have to coach 15 seasons back in before the 1940s to come close to what Ryan Day has done number-wise as far as the games he's gotten to coach in in 5 seasons.
Right.
Because, they only played, like, at times 7 or 8 games a season. That was it. That's all you played. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they didn't start the season until October. Go look at the schedules.
Oh, yeah.
It was wild. They would start the season in October, and they were done in the middle of November, and that was football season. Could you imagine? We lived through that with COVID. It about killed all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different things that affected. And you could, you know, I could have taken it even farther and went down to divisional championships inside the Big Ten under the conference championship. But that didn't come along until,
that,
you know.
That didn't come along until, until Urban showed up.
Yeah, 2010, 2012.
So, and Troy brings up a good point. You couldn't even go to a back-to-back Rose Bowl games right. for a while.
Right.
So there was a lot of hand-stringing that happened. And so how do you gauge that? So for instance, let me give you a perfect instance here. In the era we're about to enter, there is a world where John Cooper might have won a couple national championships.
Absolutely, because it was just Michigan and you know, he struggled at times in bowl games. He was, what, 3-8, I think, overall in bowl games, so he wasn't great in bowl games.
I think the 96 team and the 98 team
– I think both win the title.
Probably go on to win national championships.
Michigan was probably cheating back then too, let's be honest.
You would know, JR. You would know.
I'm positive.
What were your sources back in the 90s when you were when you were like 8 years old?
Yeah,
he wasn't JR then. He was just Junior.
Yeah, that was I'm trying to think of a different nickname for myself back then, but I got nothing. So JR with nothing in the know, I guess, would be my nickname back then, because I was more concerned about being an insider for my little league baseball team than I was about Ohio State football.
JR in the yard.
Hey, but me and my brother both played 2 years of T-ball. My dad coached both teams. Four-time league champions. That's all I'm saying.
In T-ball?
It's T-ball.
Hey, we were the Cardinals. Don't shoot. Okay, we were the Cardinals, and everybody wanted to be on our team. So much so that my dad wasn't allowed to coach anymore because everybody wanted to be on his team, and they complained. Anyway, we'll get back to the other stuff. But T-ball champ right here.
Anyways, I think when you go to do any list like this, you're going to run into those instances where you question, what should I go back and change? So like when I was doing the wide receiver thing, when the numbers started coming out and I realized where people were landing, I thought, oh, what can I go back and tweak? But then I realized I can't, because if you go back and tweak the algorithm, if you go back and tweak what you're looking at, what
it
you're
changes
gauging,
everything.
And now you're bringing bias. You're bringing your bias into it. And so this had to be an incredibly difficult thing for you to do, knowing you were about to come on to the OHIO podcast Sunday night, reveal this, and get the thunder from the chat. So, good for you, Chris. You got the backbone.
I want to bring up one point, okay? Because I got into this discussion with a gentleman on Twitter at one point, and it was actually a good discussion. I had a good discussion on Twitter at one point. Of course, it was with an Ohio State fan, so I generally have good discussions with them. So we were talking about Urban Meyer versus Woody Hayes. We both kind of agreed that Jim Tressel is either one or two, but Urban Meyer and Woody Hayes kind of battle for that one or three spot. And the thing I asked him, because he kept bringing up that Woody Hayes won more national championships than Urban Meyer. And I wasn't necessarily arguing one way or the other. I was just kind of playing devil's advocate a bit. And
he had a lot more opportunity, though, JR.
That's what I'm saying, is like Urban coached at Ohio State the majority of the time, at least one season he wasn't able to, but the majority of the time when he when we had the playoffs. And so in order to win the playoffs, not only did you have to win your entire season, but then you had to go on and win two more games against the actual best of the best teams in the nation. Woody Hayes, not trying to diminish his national championships at all, he didn't have to do that. And so that's my question, is for the chat and for you guys, please tell me, because I'm genuinely curious, because I can't decide. I'm genuinely curious. Do Woody Hayes' national championships equate the same? Like, are they equal with an Urban Meyer or a Ryan Day national championship, considering what Urban Meyer, Ryan Day, guys like that, even Jim Tressel to a certain extent because of the BCS, what those guys would have to go through to win a national championship, not just be voted upon, but actually win the national championship. Again, not trying to diminish Woody Hayes. You know, he won his this too.
Gosh, this is a great question.
I love any question that's going to help me get out of this.
I think you can. Or actually, I think the answer to that would be no. I think Woody had some advantages back then that no one talks about. Number one, the Big Ten was the SEC back then.
Yes.
The SEC was not really a thing until
Nick Saban.
90s?
Until Nick Saban.
Right? Like the SEC was not like you had the Big Eight and you had the Southwest Conference, and the SEC did not come into prominence until about the mid 90s.
Even then, and they weren't the undoubtable best. They were the best from time to time, year to year, a few times. But
the Big Ten was where it was at, man. I mean, the Big Ten and then the teams out west. USC was king. Now, Alabama went through a run in the 60s with Paul Bear Bryant, where that they were dominant. But if you go back and you read any of the articles that were being written on the national level when Woody Hayes was in his prominence, Woody Hayes was looked at the same way we just got done looking at Nick Saban. And the Big Ten was the big dog. And there wasn't a playoff at all.
Right.
So
he just had to be the most popular.
I think what Urban had to do to accomplish to get where he got, and what Ryan Day now has to do, the mountain he has to climb, is incredibly more difficult than what Woody Hayes had to go through. That's my two cents.
Well, and I agree, Eric, because if Ryan Day goes out this year and wins a national title, he's going to have to take on, first of all, the Big Ten, which look at how many teams are going to be ranked in the Big Ten this year. He's going to play some serious ranked teams through the course of the year.
Because, but he could also lose to two teams and then make the playoffs still, right? Like he loses correct. To Oregon and Michigan, he still makes the playoffs.
Depends who you lose to.
Right, that's true. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
But, I mean, yeah, but you've got to run through the Big Ten. And we all figure that one loss is probable, but you know what? Let's say he goes undefeated. Then he's still got to go out and play in this new 12-team playoff. This, if Ryan Day wins the national title this season, he is going to have done something I think more impressive than any of these other coaches have done on any single run to the national championship. Hands down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm not saying I disagree. I just, like, I didn't think of it that way, but I think you're right.
He's going to have to win, what is it, at least 16 games to win the national, or he's going to have to 15. He's going to have to play 15 games to win a national championship. 15 or 16?
16. It is 16, yeah, because you'll have that conference.
Because you got the conference mixed up earlier.
Yeah.
He's got to play 16 games
to win a national championship. Imagine going to the Big Ten championship, losing, and now you'd have to play 17.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at that, he's in an era where it's not as simple as going out and just having an 8-10 game schedule and playing all your players for that. Because now he's in a situation where he's going to have to be concerned with resting certain guys at times, keep guys fresh for the playoff run. He's going to have to manage the players. He's got to manage NIL. He's got to manage, so many things that these other coaches did not have to do. So I think that anything that Ryan Day does, if he wins a national title this season, it is the most impressive win of any national title in Ohio State history.
I got to read Hamas Hero's comment. I disagree. Woody had to face USC numerous times at the height of their power in the de facto home game to win national titles. It cost him two. That's a very good point, actually, Hamas. So
still one game. I'm not saying Hamas is wrong. Right. But still,
it's one game versus you have to run the table for three in a row.
Right.
Or if you count your conference championship.
But he's also correct in the fact that you can lose one or two games and still make the playoffs and then go on the run. So, yeah, it's a tough question. Like I said, gosh. I don't know. I agree with Chris's statement that if Ryan Day does it this year, it'll be the most difficult that any coach will have faced. Because I think at the same time, he's also dealing with a lot of the buzz about the hot seat, which is just stupid. Oh, Ryan Day is not on the hot seat. But
he should be.
Well, and that's my point is, like, Ryan Day is not on the hot seat right now. But if Ryan Day loses to Oregon and Michigan, then he'll be on the hot seat. Because then the real actual talks about, like, is he going to get fired will happen. You know what I'm saying? But
if anyway, he loses to Michigan again, he shouldn't even have a seat.
Well, I know, but the administration's not going to look at it that way. Because they're going to look at the buyout and say, oh my gosh, I have to pay this guy this huge buyout. And Ross Bjork's going to say, I just paid a guy $80 million to go away. Do I want to pay another guy?
Yeah.
Jeremiah, of dollars.
Jeremiah Yoder, this is actually something I've been thinking about. Ohio State was the first national champion in the 4-team playoff.
Yep.
They will become the first national champion in the first 12-team playoff. If the older I get, the more I see patterns like this happening.
Yeah.
All the time in my life, like it's wild how that works. So I'm hoping that is correct, because I've been thinking about that. So this was an incredibly interesting discussion that this turned into. So props to Chris for bringing this up. We'll be back Thursday night with our live call-in show. If none of you have ever been to our live call-in shows on Thursday night, they are wild and fun. 8 o'clock Eastern. They turn into sometimes almost two hour shows.
I'll bet somebody's going to bring this up, Eric.
What's that?
I bet somebody's going to bring this up.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure someone's going to call in and want to talk to you about it, Chris. And I'm going to let them because it's a lot of fun. So make sure you check that out. Juck on Bucks will be with us next Sunday evening. He was at a wedding this weekend. He took all of his equipment and was hoping that Wi-Fi would be good for him, but he said it took him 12 hours to upload one 45-minute video on YouTube. So I was like, dude, that's no bueno coming on the stream, dude. So he will be with us next week, and he actually is talking on his last video about this very topic. What is the hot seat, and is it really real? So maybe we should have this debate with him, because I know, Chris, the way you think, I know you've taken a hard stand on where you're at with that. It might be interesting to get maybe someone from a different perspective and kind of have and talk that out. So we'll see if that's something we want to talk about. Maybe he has some other things he wants to talk about with us. So, oh, yes. By the way, this was fantastic. So if you guys have not seen the conversation that took place on a video we ran Friday, where
Sean was telling me about this, I believe.
some individual decided to talk some crap with me. I went to his page, and he's like a little kid recording himself playing video games. I just called him out on it. It was like, you can't, like, let me teach you a lesson, young lad. Like, don't come at me trying to talk junk like that when you're recording yourself playing video games for 8 subscribers, okay? And it went back and forth, and I'm hoping he calls in, because I literally said, Thursday night, call in. We will have a discussion about Ohio State. He says he's an Ohio State fan. I want this person to call
in. Oh, no. What's his kid's name? Do you know?
No, I don't know his name. I got is his YouTube handle.
I'm just frightened because one of the kids.
Is it your boy?
No, but one of the kids I teach said, hey, I saw you have a YouTube show.
Oh, no way.
And I went on and liked it.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to have to go on and check this out.
This is an element.
New segment. Eric argues with Chris's students.
Please, no. That's no good for me.
Can I come as a guest speaker, Chris, to your school and be like Billy Madison playing dodgeball? That would be awesome.
Peyton Manning's football camp.
Yes.
Remember that SNL skit where he's zinging the kids in the back of the head?
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, that would be fantastic. So we'll have to see if he calls. You're gonna have to come Thursday night to the college show to see if this guy, calls. Yes, Steely Matt. He literally put on his show that if he got 100 subscribers, he would do a video of him opening Pokemon cards.
Oh, which video was this on, Eric? I gotta know.
One on from Friday.
From Friday.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Bobby. Oh, we have fallen down a cesspool here tonight. That's what we have done here at the end of the show.
Something bad has happened.
Yeah. Please like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for each and every single one of you who came in tonight, participated in the chat. We had a lot of fun. Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, we'll do the call-in show. Next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, Juck on Sports will be here. Juck on Bucks will be here. And yes, I got his name right. And if you haven't gone and watched his video he uploaded from this weekend, where the beginning is me unable to say his name properly, he cuts up all of those and puts them on there. And Chris is going, Juck, Juck. And I'm like, Junk? Juck, junk, junk, juck, junk, and Chris is Juck. Go watch, even if it's just the opening part of his video, it is
gold. What video was that you did that in?
It was Thursday night's call-in show.
Oh, I missed that one.
And I couldn't say his name. I kept saying
it was
Juck
awful
the whole night long. And so Juck cuts up every time I messed it up, and he puts it in his opening of his show. Like, you son of a gun. Was really good. So
Juck's awesome. I might have to
play that when he comes on next Sunday night for him. Be like, here you go, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Again, like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it. Go check out theohiopodcast.com. Chris is going to have some great articles over there. Oh, thank you, Donald. We have a super chat here right at the end of the show. $5 holler from Donald and Karen. Thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate that. That goes a long way in helping us do our call-in show. It costs us about $30, give or take, a couple shows, about $15 to $30, depending on – it's $15 an hour, and our shows have become almost 2 hours long to do those call-in shows. So that goes a really far way for helping us with that. So we really do appreciate it. All right, guys, be kind to one another. IO Summons OH, sing Carmen Ohio with all your heart. Till next time, OH!
I-O.
Go Bucks.
I feel like you were a little...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.